That was beautiful. Thank you. That was amazing. Thank you for your wonderful church. It's been awesome. We had a fantastic discussion this morning in one of the Sabbath schools. I haven't been to an adult Sabbath school in maybe a handful of times in the last since we've had kids, so that was nice. Not that the kids' Sabbath schools are bad; those are wonderful. I've just been away from the adults, so that was great. Erica, sorry, I love the rain. My prayers are going against yours. just a little bit here, real quick. There's some things that you need to know about me. A, I'm not a preacher. And that being said, I promise not to preach. I am a teacher. And I'd like to study with you a little bit today. But I'll promise a few things. I'm a science teacher. I won't give you a quiz. I'm not going to teach you about the Krebs cycle or anything else that you dreaded in high school. Did anyone remember that term? Oh, that's pretty good. And I won't send you to the principal's office, even if you talk, I promise. Okay. Anyway, just a real quick thing about this afternoon. I've been teaching 16 years, 2 years in the public school, and then I switched to an Adventist school. And that was right around when texting was coming in. And I've watched the progression go from texting to what we have today. And it's been very interesting. So I'm going to be sharing some of those observations and how it's affected a whole bunch of areas of student lives and family lives. And there again, I'm not going to preach to you. I'm going to share what I've been observing and let you guys take it at face value. And we'll have an open discussion, question and answer about what we should be doing. So that's what this afternoon will be about. If you can come out, that'd be great. If not, I'll forgive you. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you for your Sabbath, and thank you for the chance to speak here. And I pray that you come in as we study your words, or your word, and I pray that you use me. What I have to say is not very good, but what you have to say is amazing. So we thank you for that. And bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so you're in class. You got to take out your Bibles. We're going to go right to Genesis 2. And I'll look these up with you. So we should be about the same time. This should be pretty familiar with you. We just got done with Genesis 1. We didn't, but that's what the story is about. And I'm going to assume that you know that story. And so let's skip to verse 1 of chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. So we're here on the seventh day, because God sanctified it. But let's look at that a little bit more deeply. So I want you to just flip to Exodus 31. And the title of our talk was Favorite Day of the Week. So we'll see how this text fits with that. So down in verse 12, Exodus 31. Then the Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbath. This will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come, so you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. Observe the Sabbath because it is holy to you. Anyone who desecrates it must be put to death. Whoever does any work on that day must be cut off from his people. For 6 days work is to be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day must be put to death. The Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, celebrating it for the generations to come as a lasting covenant. It will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he abstained from work and rested. I don't want to be put to death. How can we have a text like this on our about our favorite day of the week? So I think the answer comes in Exodus 20. So flipping back. And just so you know, I'm talking first, then my wife's going to talk, so you'll end on a high note. But Exodus 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you should labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your animals, for the alien within your gates. And then it ends, right? No, it does. Oh. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. What's the point of the Sabbath? Yes, absolutely. What are we celebrating? Creation. Could it be that the text in Exodus 31 that was disturbing is a statement of a natural law? If we cease to observe God as our life giver, our creator, could it be that we are doomed to death? So rather than a punishment, could that just be what's going to happen? Interesting. That changed my outlook on the Sabbath. For one, rather than a commandment, you must do this. And by the way, the first four commandments of the Ten Commandments are all about what? About God. You shall have no other gods before me. Don't make idols. All of this stuff. Speaking of which, idolatry. What do I teach again? A guy named Darwin who has a lot to do with science these days. It'll sound like I'm going back and forth, but why did the Israelites keep going back to idolatry? Has anyone ever wondered about this? It never made sense to me growing up. Why did they keep going back to idolatry? I mean, they wanted a god. And who did they want to have made the gods? People. If you're worshiping something that is man-made, who are you really worshiping? Man. So, with Darwinian thinking, if we have evolved from nothing, essentially, life just began, and we are the controllers of the world, who is God in that line of thinking? Man. Is there any difference between that type of idolatry and the type we do today? What is idolatry? If it's worshiping man, what's another way we can put that? What's a word we can use? Sorry, I'm a teacher. I ask questions, but who are we putting above God? Selves. Selfishness. You get an A. So if the first four commandments are all about worshiping God and not being selfish, and by the way, the last six are all about selflessness, not being selfish. So if this is all centered about putting God first and putting ourselves behind God and even behind other people, what does that say about the Sabbath? By keeping the Sabbath, we are literally declaring, I'm below you, God. I am submitting to your all-powerfulness, your wisdom, your divinity. And I think that's where everything starts. I'd like to give you a magic formula on how to make Sabbath your favorite day of the week. And it probably is for a whole bunch of you. It is for me. I don't have a magic formula, and I don't think God wants us to have a magic formula. But I will talk to you from a man's perspective. And again, Heidi will give you the female perspective. But as a man, I want to talk about two things: protection and planning. So as a man, we are supposed to protect our families, right? Yes. So I want you to go to Exodus 16. What does it mean to protect our families? What does that look like? 16 verse 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days. So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, in the evening you will know that it is the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, and in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us? Moses also said, you will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against you, against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord. Then Moses told Aaron, say to the entire Israelite company, come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling. I feel like I got onto the wrong text. I'm going to skip down. Sorry. That was a good preview. To 14. So there's a thing about the quail in there. And then 14. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, what is it? For they did not know what it was. By the way, that's the meaning of the word manna. What is it? Moses said to them, it is the bread the Lord has given to you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Each one is to gather as much as he needs. Take an omer for each person, you have in your tent. The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much and some gathered little. And when they measured it by the omer, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little did not have too little. That's an interesting text all in itself, but I'll let you study that this afternoon. Each one gathered as much as he needed. Then Moses said to them, no one is to keep any of it until morning. However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with them. Each morning, everyone gathered as much as he needed, and when the sun grew hot, it melted away. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much, two omers for each person, and the leaders of the community came and reported this to Moses. He said to them, this is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil. Save whatever is left and keep it until morning. So they saved it until morning as Moses commanded, and it did not stink or get maggots in it. Eat it today, Moses said, because today is a Sabbath to the Lord. You will not find any of it on the ground today. 6 days you are to gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any. Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it, but they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That is why on the sixth day, he gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where he is on the seventh day. No one is to go out. So the people rested on the seventh day. So we're to protect our families. We are the providers as men. Isn't it a good thing to store up food and provide for your family? And yet, what does God ask the Israelites to do as far as food? You're not going to get any tomorrow, so I'll store up right now, but only on one day of the week. So the rest of the day, what is he asking them to do? He's asking them, trust me. There'll be manna tomorrow, don't keep any for the next day. There'll be manna tomorrow, don't keep any. There'll be manna, tomorrow's Sabbath, go ahead and store up some extra. So I would argue as men, part of making Sabbath the favorite day of the week is trusting God. Trusting Him to provide for us. Trusting Him to fulfill all our needs. And what does that look like as men? How do we fight? How do we protect? How do we trust? Surrender. You really do get an A. Surrender is the way that we are men. We have to fight on our knees. And I would argue that I don't have any answers for how to make Sabbath the favorite day of the week for you and you, for your family, but I would argue that God does. And by surrendering, He will give you those answers. I'm going to read my notes for just a second here. I'm going to say one thing about society in the second part, and that's planning. So Heidi and I were thinking of the different roles that we play as parents. And as far as Sabbath, I'm gone most of the week. Monday through Friday, I'm teaching. I come home. We have a nice evening together, but I'm gone a lot of the time. And Sabbath is my day where God's commanded us no work. We're not doing any projects, which are always ongoing in our house. You're just spending time with family and spending time with me. So how can I, as a man, make that a special day of the week? So if I can give you a magic formula, this is the closest you're going to get, but I think it's just some things that we do. And by all means, we're not perfect. Well, my wife is. I'm not. But I think there's three things that make us happy as human beings. And they all have to do with those selfishness or unselfishness. And these three things, I talk to this with my students a lot. The three things I think are giving gifts, serving other people, and being productive. And it's interesting because we tend to avoid all of those things like the plague, which makes no sense. I don't want. Hard work pays off in the end, but laziness pays off now. That's terrifying. But how many times in our society where we are told to take time out for self, not that that's bad, but in excess, obviously it is. It's pretty clear, one day a week. But when we're taking a vacation on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, when we're sitting in front of our screens, guilty. What happens when we get to Sabbath and we put that stuff away and realize, I wasn't that productive? I wasn't that unselfish. I didn't serve very many people. I didn't give anything to anybody. How will that make the Sabbath feel? To have a whole day to sit there and think about what I didn't get done over the week? Ugh, not very fun. So I would argue that one of the things that we as men can do is to teach our kids to be productive every day, to serve people every day, to give gifts as much as possible. And that when the Sabbath rolls around and you stop doing those things and you spend time with family and with God, not that serving on the Sabbath is bad, but we should do that as well. But I would argue that those things will make the Sabbath more of a delight. And that's one thing that we can do as men. So this time I'll turn over the podium to my better half. Do you want me to say anything about you, or do you want me to stop immediately?
You stopped. Am I on? Okay.
We met in high school. She would not give me the time of day, but that's a different story. If you come back this afternoon, I'll tell it.
Oh, I forgot my notes. All right. Well, I just want to say good morning. Thank you guys so much for being so welcoming and such a friendly church. I can already tell just by being here that you all already know how to make Sabbath a delight. I see little girls with butterfly wings floating around here, and I'm just like, that's joy, right? So if you could just bow your heads with me for a word of prayer. Lord, I just want to pause and ask that you take the wheel here and just speak through me. You know what these people here need, the words that you want them to hear. And so I pray that those are the words that come out of my mouth today. Let the words that I speak and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you. Amen. So I, like my husband, am not a preacher. But unlike him, I'm not a teacher either. Well, at least not officially one. I do homeschool my kids, but you know, that's another teaching. But I am the daughter of a king. And he gives all of us a purpose and a mission in life. And I, for so long, said, the one thing, Lord, I don't want you to do is ask me to speak. Just please. I'll do anything else that you want me to do. And guess what he's asked me to do? So I am just giving this to him today, and whatever he wants, the words coming out will just kind of twist and turn and be led by the Holy Spirit till it reaches your ears. So, well, I'm going to talk about a big reason why I believe that Sabbath was created today from a woman's perspective, and then I'm going to share ideas and how you can fall in love with Sabbath and make it your favorite day of the week. You know, typically in a crowd, there are people who, if you would ask, you know, who came to church with a burden today? You know, this is, and Sabbath is a burden and not a delight. Typically, you'll have someone raise their hands. I don't know about this church. You guys are just so happy and giving and friendly. But I have to say that the Sabbath for me growing up was something that I dreaded. I grew up in a home with a father who was baptized into the Adventist church right before I was born, and a mom who wasn't baptized until I was actually 11. So Sabbaths for us, my parents, they didn't grow up with instruction. They weren't giving instruction on how to teach us what we could do on Sabbath. And so Sabbath for us was a 24-hour period of things that we couldn't do, okay? We couldn't play with the next-door neighbors. I couldn't go in the pool except for to cool off, but there was no splashing your siblings, right? No fun. Don't have any fun. And you couldn't watch TV on Sabbath. We couldn't do any homework. And so I just remember sitting there bored on Sabbath, not knowing what to do. And then I finally got a driver's license and got to go out with friends. But it was the same thing with the friends. And I found that we were sitting watching the clock tick like it was a Saturday, you know, it's a Saturday night like it was New Year's Eve. Countdown. Sabbath's over, now we can have fun. That's kind of the mentality. I know my parents never in a million years would they have intended for this. And When I grew up and started having babies of my own and trying to evaluate this, it was kind of the same. It was a Sabbath morning. It was still a burden. I was rushing around trying to feed kids, right, trying to nurse babies. And, you know, you'd got them all bathed last night in preparation for Sabbath. But, of course, inevitably, one of them was going to poop through. As you're walking out the door for Sabbath, you're throwing them back in the tub. And then you're getting them all cute because you really want to look perfect for Sabbath. Everything needs to be perfect. And two of the kids can't find the matching shoes to the outfit. And I remember getting to the church, walking in, making sure, you know, I'm all good, standing up in front because I'm leading out in Sabbath school and singing, Sabbath is a happy day, happy day, happy day. Sabbath is a happy day. I love every Sabbath. This was after I'd been yelling at my husband and kids all morning. And I'm sitting here thinking, Sabbath is not a delight in our home. Sabbath is a burden. And I wanted that to change. Isaiah 58 says, if you watch your step on Sabbath and you don't use my holy day for personal advantage, if you call the Sabbath a delight and treat the Sabbath as a day of joy, God's holy day as a celebration, if you honor it by refusing business as usual, making money or running here and there, then you'll be free to enjoy God. Which leads me to why I believe God gave us the Sabbath, or at least one reason why. He made it as a day to enjoy him. If you want to turn with me to Exodus 20, I know you're already there with Joey, but this time we're coming there as a woman, okay? From a woman's perspective. Go to Exodus 20, and we're going to read the first part of 8, which is remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, and we're going to skip down to verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he hallowed it. God loved the man and woman that he created so much that he just had to make another day so that he could spend the whole day with them. He made it holy and he made it sacred so that we could take everything else off our plate without guilt and just spend the day with him. We were designed to spend Sabbath with our Creator. In Luke 10, if you want to turn with me there, we find a story about two women and Jesus. If you go to verse 38, we find that Jesus is traveling with his disciples. So there's a total of 13 people, at least, right, that we know of, traveling. And they come upon a village where a woman named Martha opens her home. Now, Martha is a very capable woman. And I believe she was like the first Martha Stewart, right? The first woman. Who in here would like 13 people to just show up, open, you know, you open your door, there's 13 people that you have to feed and you have to make sleeping arrangements for, right? So Martha has a lot on her plate here. And verse 40 says, Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And I'm thinking, yeah, wouldn't you? I can relate to that. She came to him, to Jesus, and she asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. I mean, can you just imagine her? Tell her to help me. I need some help around here. She had so much to do, and here's her sister just sitting at the feet of Jesus. But Luke says that Martha was distracted by the preparations, and my brother-in-law, who's a pastor at the Kettering Church, told me that the Greek word for distracted is called periaspato. And the meaning of periaspato is pulled apart or torn away from. Does anyone here ever feel like Martha? Pulled in 1,000 different directions during the week? There's work and there's school schedules and you've already put it a full day and you come home and there's sports to do or there's music lessons. And oh yeah, don't forget you got to make dinner and then there's a load of laundry to throw in because you got to have clothes the next day. And you just heard that there's a family whose mother was just diagnosed with cancer, so you want to whip that mom up a meal too. And then you're so exhausted from that that you just kind of want to scan and catch up with Facebook and Instagram and make sure that, you know, you're up to date on what's going on there. Oh, I forgot. I've got a birthday party I'm supposed to plan this weekend. I'm going to hop on Pinterest and just make sure that I'm planning this birthday party. And it's perfect, right? I want to get some ideas off of Pinterest. By then, you're so exhausted, you just veg out in front of the TV, right? Or watch some movies because you're just so tired. Our days are full. And Jesus knew that we would get distracted. He knew that 1,000 different things would pull us away and tear us apart from him. And he knew that that distraction would come at a cost. And so God created the Sabbath, a day for us to pause, to reconnect, and recenter our lives. So let's get back to Luke 10 in verse 41. And let's hear what God says to Martha, after how he answers her question. He says, "Martha, Martha." Now, the fact that he says her name twice here doesn't mean he's going, "Martha, Martha." It's actually an endearment when he says her name twice. He's saying it with compassion and gentleness. "Martha, Martha," he answered her, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her." In The Desire of Ages, Ellen White shares what this one thing that Jesus refers to is. The one thing that Martha needed was a calm devotional spirit, a deeper anxiety for knowledge concerning the future, immortal life, and the graces necessary for spiritual advancement. She needed less anxiety for the things which pass away, and more for those things which endure forever. Jesus would teach his children to seize every opportunity of gaining knowledge that will make them wise until salvation. The cause of Christ needs careful, energetic workers. There is a wide field for the Marthas with their zeal in active religious work, but let them first sit with Mary at the feet of Jesus. Let diligence, promptness, and energy be sanctified by the grace of Christ. Then the life will be an unconquerable power for good. This is found in The Desire of Ages. While Martha is being torn apart from Christ, Mary can't take her eyes off of him. She is so drawn to him, and she knows she needs him so badly that she can't even take time out to help her sister. She knows that she needs Jesus first before she can do anything else. She knows that she needs Jesus first to live a life that will be an unconquerable power for good. So Jesus asked Martha to stop and rest and to first sit with him so that everything she does will be led by the Holy Spirit instead of her own selfish desires. The world keeps us running around at a hectic pace. Sabbath is a hard stop to the week. It's our anchor. It's a day created for us to stop and rest and fill ourselves with Jesus so that we can be led by his Spirit during our busy week. And here is why I believe that's so important, especially as women, because what we do, the choices that we make every day, it determines who we are. And in that way, Sabbath becomes an anchor to our identity. And if Satan can get us so distracted and busy that we forget the Sabbath, he can get us to forget whose we are. And in a day and age where many people, especially girls, struggle with identity, the Sabbath was created to remind us that we were created in the image of God, our Creator. And we are his children. We are children of the King. Spending the Sabbath day growing this relationship with him reminds us, or helps us, rather, grow roots that are strong and deep so that the winds of confusion and fear start blowing around us. We're going to be anchored and secure in the remembrance of whose we are. We are loved beyond what we can imagine. And Jesus gave up his life up in heaven, living with God, to come down to live on this fallen earth with us. And then he chose to die with us. And it's by choosing to sit at his feet that we behold his love for us. And by beholding his love is how we become changed. It's only when we in intimacy is found with our Creator that we can find who we are and live our purpose, the reason that we were created, just like the lady with the with no legs. She spent time at his feet, and she realized that she had a mission, something that God wanted her to do. The Sabbath is a celebration of how much Jesus loves us. It's a reminder that we're created in his image. It's a weekly reminder of our identity. So if the Sabbath isn't your favorite day, how can you fall in love with it? I can only share what God's done in my life. I ended up doing a Bible study, and I tried to see, how did God spend his Sabbaths? How did God spend his days? And what I saw over and over was Jesus submitting his will to his Father. And so I asked God, Lord, what do you want me to do? How can I submit my will to you? You've given me this role of wife and mother, a role that has its seasons for those of you with the little ones. So Sabbath has changed and it will change. But my kids who are now, they're now 7 through 13 years old. My role, I believe, is to have Sabbath become a sanctuary. A day where we can have the whole family grow closer together while learning more about Jesus. So I grew up with Fridays being our preparation day. Anyone here the same? Yeah, you spend all day Friday cleaning the house, getting everything ready. And, you know, if that's grocery shopping or whatever, just making sure your house was in order for Sabbath. But what I found is that we couldn't get everything done in one day. And oftentimes we were dipping into the Sabbath hours, kind of moving across that border. And I didn't want to live my life like this. I didn't want to crash and burn into Sabbath, because I feel like then we're not getting the blessing that God intended for it. So how can we prepare for Sabbath so that we're ready for the Sabbath and we're excited to welcome the Sabbath in? One of the things that I've found is, obviously I shared, by spending time with Jesus, I want my to-do list to be God-led. So that preparing for Sabbath, I start preparing for Sabbath on Sunday. But it's not just a physical preparation, it's also a mental and spiritual one. So I try to start my day every day with Jesus, and I fix my eyes on Jesus multiple times throughout the day, because our family needs lots of Jesus. So the morning just doesn't cut it for us, okay? I have to have my own morning time worship to be a wife and a mom that doesn't get all crazy on the kids. So I meet with Jesus in the morning, and then I meet with him with the kids after breakfast. And then we meet with him again. The kids do this on their own. They have a quiet time. But we all meet with him again on our own after lunch. And then we meet with him again at night before we go to bed, so that we kind of have these little stops in our day to be like, Lord, bring me back in. Rein me back in, because our hearts and our attitudes and our thoughts and everything, our actions, I get off path so quickly, and I need these little reminders. And so the other thing that I try to do is I try to pray while I'm washing dishes. You know, we women, we like to kill two birds with one stone, right? And multitask and get this done. So I'm driving in the car and I'm praying, or I've got the kids in the car, and so we're memorizing scripture or we're learning a new hymn. So these are some ways that we've found in our family kind of help us keep our eyes on Jesus and help us start preparing our attitudes and our hearts for Sabbath already on Sunday. So it's a mental and physical preparation, a mental and spiritual preparation. How does this look like in the home? What can we do in the home? We don't have to have our entire houses clean on Friday in preparation for Sabbath. We can start, like, tomorrow. I won't do this today because we're on vacation, but we can wash the laundry that we wore today and get clothes ready for Sabbath. I could find the matching shoes, you know, those mates that I could never find. I don't know why I never thought go find them on Sunday and like put them someplace high where the kids can't reach them, right? So we maybe do that on Sunday, and then on Monday, it's dusting the house. It doesn't get that dusty in five more days, right? And so I have found for my house, on Tuesday, maybe it's grocery shopping and cleaning the fridge. A little thing every day helps keep that Sabbath in view. Like, I am getting ready. I am so excited to be getting ready for Sabbath, and that's what I want my kids to see. I want to be able to model that joy and that peace when Sabbath comes so that I can truly, from my heart, sing Sabbath is a happy day. So another way we try to have Sabbath become a sanctuary is to create special Sabbath experiences. These become traditions. And I try to engage the five senses as much as I can in these experiences. We try to do things that maybe smell different or taste different or feel different. And we try our best to avoid our normal, everyday, ordinary. Okay, so just we try to make it so special, kind of like Christmas, like you're getting ready for Christmas, that season. We try to make that Sabbath. I want these traditions and spending time together to be about the family, spending time together, getting to know Jesus better. So one of the things we do is called Sabbath light. And this is when the Sabbath starts coming, we light candles. And the kids are always so excited to turn the lights off, like before I even can get dinner on the onto the table. And it's dark. Now, of course, we can't do this during the summer, but we do this during the winter. And I've got some friends who actually have special Sabbath dinnerware. I'd never heard of that before. It's called Feed the Word, and it has different scripture on each place setting, which I thought was really cool. So they have a tradition where they go around on Friday nights, and one of them or more will share what their plate or their cup or whatever has to say. So I thought that was a really neat tradition. So the second thing we do is Sabbath music. It's very rare Sabbath where our eyes don't pop open and we hear Michael Card playing. Michael Card is one of my husband's favorites. So every time I hear Michael Card, boom, it's Sabbath. I just know somewhere it's Sabbath, right? So we do that. Sabbath praise and worship. As hard as it is to get kids out the door and dressed and yourself out the door and dressed, there is something about worshiping Jesus and praising him within a community. And so I want my kids to take advantage of that opportunity and to really engage in what the speaker is saying for and sharing on Sabbath. And so I try to have my kids during the sermon, the little one, she counts how many times he says God. And so we'll get a report on, he said God 55 times during the sermon. Now, we know there's a problem if he's only said God three times. I don't know what happened in that sermon. And the older ones, they could take notes or figure out what the thesis was or his main points. And so they're actively engaged during the sermon so they can be blessed as well. And another thing we do is Sabbath serving. So I know my husband said we need to do that throughout the week, and I totally agree as well. But there's something about maybe having someone over for dinner that creates a special tradition, or maybe it's you bringing a meal to another family and surprising them, playing ding dong ditch or something, and just serving someone else. And again, not your normal everyday ordinary. So I was going to be going to a women's conference a couple weeks ago, and we had some friends over for Friday night. And we had quite a few people over, and our house looked like a bomb went off, especially the kitchen. And they didn't leave until late Friday night, and the last thing I wanted to do was to stay up late. I'm not a night person. I'm a morning person. So to stay up late was just sounded miserable to me. But I knew before, I felt like God put it on my heart, I want you to wake up early, and I want you to do those dishes for your family. And where normal something, right, something like washing dishes is normal everyday work, it became a blessing because of the intention behind it. The intention was not, oh, I've got to do these dishes. I just don't want to do them tomorrow. I don't want to face them. It was, I don't want my family to have to do that. And I feel like God really can, We just need to listen and be led by his Spirit, and he'll give us all sorts of things that we can do to make the Sabbath a delight. So having the kids wake up to a clean kitchen was such a delight for me. It was almost clean, not quite. It was going to take a process to get that kitchen clean. So those are some things. And then the fifth one that I wanted to share is called Sabbath Surprise. Now, in preparing for this talk, I kind of interviewed some of our wise parents in our church, and this was something that they did in their home and something that we are now incorporating in our family. So Sabbath Surprise, if your kids are little, this could be something like keeping special toys or puzzles or games only for the Sabbath, making them really special. For older kids, you can do something like science experiments that have a great object lesson. You can go on a hike, go bird watching. Ellen White says a lot about getting out in nature. And so creating some sort of Sabbath surprise that the kids are anxiously waiting, like, what's going to be our Sabbath surprise today? So I encourage you to sit down with your spouse or with your family and talk about how you can make Sabbath a delight in your home. And if it isn't already, just start by changing one thing. So for those of you who fell asleep during the sermon, I have a couple cliff notes for you. So it's kind of there's no college or older kids here. That's usually who the ones that fall asleep. Okay, so God made Sabbath for us to build a relationship with him and to remind us of our identity, of whose we are. And a good personal test for how we should spend Sabbath is whether or not a certain activity brings us closer to him or it brings us further away. If it's God-led or if it's led by our own selfish desires. How you observe Sabbath will reflect your own personal relationship, your own season of life, and your own unique walk with Jesus. He desperately wants to spend the Sabbath with you. So will you choose to make it your favorite day and spend it with him? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much for making the Sabbath, and thank you for making it your favorite day of the week. And I pray that you just help us, guide us, lead us. We want our to-do lists and everything throughout our week to be God-led so that you can lead us into this Sabbath and give us the blessing that you intended us for it. Thank you so much for these people here today. Thank you for their love and their hospitality. And Lord, I pray that you just lead, as we go through this doors, help us to become closer to you as we celebrate your Sabbath. In your name we pray, amen.